Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby. Today's guest, well, she's 1/5 of the Saturdays, and she's also a blooming great TV presenter and mum of two gorgeous girls. It's Rochelle Hughes.
Thank you. That was so lovely.
Well, it's just it's like hardly any of the things that you do, to be honest. You do so much. It's hard to keep up with what you're up to.
Oh my God, you too. We keep up on Instagram now. I feel like that's how I know what everyone's up to in life.
I know. It used to be Facebook. You know, you used to want to know what people you knew were up to.
Yeah.
And now it's anyone.
It's just the world, isn't it? And I feel bad because unless you're on my Insta feed, I really won't remember when your birthday is. So it prompts me to send a message to say, happy birthday. Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Rochelle, so this podcast, it's all about, basically, I wrote a book where I was very honest about being a mum and my account of motherhood and stuff. And this podcast is basically opening that up to other people. Mm-hmm. So I'm inviting you to be very honest with me.
Oh, good.
Tell me all your secrets.
That's the only
all
thing
your
I know,
deep, dark
unfortunately. I don't know how to be anything but.
That's what I love about you. You know what? I've been really looking forward to this episode because I just know that it's going to be just a nice chat. It's going to be nice and friendly.
Yeah, good. Nice catch up.
Yeah, exactly. We don't get it.
No.
Rochelle, what kind of mum did you think you were going to be before you became a mum?
Oh, that's such a good question because I don't really know. I think you have an idea of, in my head, I parent one way, but in the moment, a lot is different, isn't it? So I think I thought, you know, I want to do everything properly and yeah, but then it just doesn't work out that way. It just doesn't. As much as I try, and I think I thought I'd be quite firm. And I'm probably firmer than I thought.
Really?
Actually. Yeah. Things like manners and, you know, just so important to me. And I knew that beforehand. But maybe when I look at my friends and like people around me, I think maybe sometimes I'm a little tougher than they are. And
do you find yourself being tougher when you're around other people? I think I parent differently when I'm around other people.
Maybe.
I kind of panic a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. And I think when I'm around, like, grandparents, I over-parent because I'm like, when they aren't with you, when I'm not here and they are with you, this is how I want you to look after them. I know that they won't. I know that we'll all go to pot and, you know, they'll just be up to whatever time eating chocolate
ice cream,
and having a lovely time. But I kind of overdo it because I'm like, no, this is how we do it. My father-in-law is very good. He's like with me. He'll say to my mother-in-law, no, Sharon, they go to bed at this time. No, Sharon, you can't just do that. She has to do it herself. And I know that he's with me, but my mum and my mother-in-law, and they're all very good friends. So if they sort of got the kids for the night, they'll like hang at our house and they'll might have a takeaway together. And yeah, I can just imagine, you know, I can just imagine what goes on. So I think sometimes you overparent, don't you?
You do. You really do. And I think especially grandparents is completely different.
Yeah.
Yours really hands-on, because you and Marv are so busy.
So busy, and I'm so lucky. I don't know if it's because Alaya was my mum's first granddaughter, or first grandchild. So I don't know if that was the same with you, but we were the first to have kids. Same. So they were. She was so desperate, my mum and my sister, to, you know, I would be like, I'm just going to pop here. Oh, well, I'll come over. Don't need to take the kids if you're there, do you? You know, so she's just sort of took a load off of me straight away, even when I wasn't busy, you know? So we're so lucky that Marvin's mum and dad live on the next road.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that.
We planned it so well.
That's amazing.
They were like, we're thinking to move. I'm like, I found a house. So they live like on the next road, and then my mum lives like 15 minutes away.
That's so
we're really
good.
Lucky. I know, we're so lucky. But it's just all hands on deck. My house is never quiet. It's just full of everyone and, you know.
How do you juggle it with all your work and...
Well, I find it a lot easier now Alaya's in school, actually. The school that we sent her to, you can start a year early. So she sort of did like the preschool it was like school nursery kind of combo. Mm-hmm. They called it kindergarten, which is very American. So I was lucky she did that a year before. And prior to that, I did have a nanny. But I found it really, really hard.
Mm.
I really, really did. I found it so hard. And
what did you find hard about it?
I found that I wanted someone to be so close, mm-hmm. obviously, because they're looking after someone that I value way more than I value myself, you know?
Yeah.
So I want them to be close to the family, but then at the same time, the closeness bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
It bothered me in the sense of, you know, I'd say, oh, I'm not sure about her doing this. I'd rather she didn't do this today. And then maybe I'd be met with, oh, she really liked it last time we did that. And that's the sort of opinion I don't want in the circumstance where I would rather be taking her there myself, but I'm working. So it's just a fine line, because obviously she's going to have an opinion because she's also spending time with my child too. So
it's also difficult, I think, seeing someone else have that bond. We had Tom's mum look after Buzz from when he was 6 months old, because I had to get back to writing. And I found it really difficult he would want to go to his nan. And I guess, and that's his nan.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine. I think if that was another person that wasn't related, I'd be crushed.
Do you know what? I was lucky because I think I stopped it at that state, like before it got there, if you know what I mean. I just can't leave them. I find it so hard. Mm.
How do you cope with mum guilt?
Oh, I get it so bad. Today I've got massive mum guilt because I didn't do the school run on a Monday. It's like my thing.
No.
You know, because I always know that after the weekend, we've been with each other the whole weekend, and I always feel like I like to take her on a Monday morning for sure. And I didn't. Well, I haven't done it, so it's okay. But yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Mm.
But my mum said, actually, which is interesting, I think it will always be a thing. Like, you'll never not have the worry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she said it's just in a different way. Like, my mum's worst thing was when I first started driving, apparently. She's like, oh, well, I wasn't worried about you, because I know you were sensible. Is everyone else on the road? She's like, it's just a new thing. So a new sort of, a new worry, or a new bit of guilt, you know? My mum often feels bad if... Like when I did have a nanny, she goes, oh, I just feel so terrible that I can't do it for you all the time, because she knew I didn't like it. So then that was her guilt. So I think it's here to stay, G, unfortunately.
I guess anytime they go through pain or anything like that as well, you must be like, oh, it's kind of my fault because I brought you here and now you're in pain.
It was like that night in Manchester when she was up being sick. I'd taken her for dinner because I thought it'd be nice. Well, guys, she loves spaghetti bolognese. It's like her favourite thing. And it was definitely, you know, when you're trying to track, I'm like, what is it that's much? Is it a bug? Is it this?
Yeah.
And it was definitely that, because I didn't have it. And you don't just know it was. It was definitely food, because as soon as she was finished being sick, she was totally fine. So then I was like, oh, I shouldn't have taken her there.
Aww.
And then I felt terrible that she was sick and wasn't at home. We were in a hotel room, you know, because you just, which it was actually a good job because I had to change those sheets.
Really?
I felt so sorry. I kept ringing down. I'm like, if it was at home, I would not be asking anyone to help me. I feel so terrible. But is there any way someone can send up a new set of sheets, like the fourth time at 4 a.m?
Valentina sleep through it?
Oh, yeah, slept through it amazingly until she obviously heard us up, and then that was her awake. Yeah.
Right.
It was a very interesting... Thankfully, I had the next day off in Manchester, so that would have been difficult if I was working, but... Yeah.
See, I have that. Usually the boys, if they're not eating, because they're such big eaters.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I put pasta in front of them and they're not eating, I think,
That's horrible.
Something's wrong, but I'll keep trying to get them to eat. So eventually I'll manage to get them to eat. And then 9 times out of 10, they're sick. I'm like, I should have just known that you were ill. Like, this is my fault.
Isn't that funny though? As a mum, the eating thing is such a big thing, isn't it? You know, like, it starts from them being a newborn, if they haven't drunk with their bottle, you're like, oh, that's what's wrong? You know, something's happened. They've not. And then it just carries on. If a lad doesn't, I really want her to enjoy her food.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing.
It's a massive thing because I love food.
I do.
Yeah. So you kind of want that passion to live on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm like, you must try everything. Like, I hate that when you're somewhere and, you know, a kid will be like, oh, no, I don't like that. I'm like, no, at least just try it for me. My nieces and nephews hate me. Like, if we're on a holiday, they're like, oh, Auntie Rachel's going to make us try everything. I'm like, well, then you can tell me that you don't like it, but you don't know yet. And 9 times out of 10, they'll say, oh, you know, I'd never make them try anything I know they're not going to like.
Yeah.
And that 9 times out of 10, they're always like, oh, I love that. Like, see?
Mm.
Now you like it.
See, we read Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss, which is the same sort of thing.
Yes, you go. See, I've never read that.
Oh, read it.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, we have a little a picture on our wall of Green Eggs and Ham in the kitchen. And any time Buzz is like, oh, I don't want it, we're like, well, just try it because you never know. And it's like, I do like it, I do.
Yeah, okay, cool. This is what I need to get. I need to get this.
Little trick, there you go.
I did, because she was, hers is taking a long time to eat, and her teachers have told me that, yeah. And she's missing out on a lot of playtime because she'll eat. She takes so long.
But is she talking while she eats?
I don't know. I think
she's putting her fork down between every mouthful.
Maybe. I think she's just distracted quite easily. But Marvin and I take a long time to eat, and everyone always says it's us, but I just really enjoy my food, so I like to savour every minute of it. But I don't know if she's got it from us, so I'm trying that. So we've got a big sticker chart going on. Which I need to buy some new stickers for, actually.
She's done that well.
Yeah.
You've run out of stickers.
And I think it's just she gets bored of the choice of stickers that I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think we need, fun options. So, yeah, it's a challenge. It's always a challenge. So when I get home tonight, that'll be what I'm up against.
I'll think of you. Covered in stickers.
Just drawing a star on the chart because I've run out of stickers.
And Elaya's like, no, I'm not eating. I'm going to eat really, really slowly tonight because you're just drawing it.
Yeah.
Michelle, what were your pregnancies like and were they different?
Yes, I was really sick with Elaya, until probably about 5 months. I just anything would set me off. And that
really?
Was, yes, smells, aftershaves, strong men's deodorant. Poor Marvin, he was like, I kept buying him a different option. I was like, nothing's working. Can you just use mine? And he was like going out in Dove. Because I hated the smell. And I just got really sick.
Were you sick or?
Yeah, sick. Right. And then I was pretty much on a boat for the rest of the time.
On a boat?
Yeah, it just felt like I was just on a boat the whole time.
Have you taken a cruise?
No, if only. I just felt really, really sick. But then it passed, and then a little bit towards the end. But when it passed, I really actually enjoyed it, and I had loads of energy, and I felt amazing. Valentina, I was sick again, but literally, I can count on one hand the amount of times right at the start. And that's when it's a feeling that you can't mistake, isn't it? When you know that when you've been pregnant before, there's no way that the first time I thought, oh, maybe I'm getting a bug or maybe I just feel run down. But that pregnancy feeling for me, it's so strong that I just know straight away. I'm really envious of those women that I didn't know. I didn't even realise I was pregnant until I was 5 months. what? I'm so envious of that.
Tom always tells me.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, I think you're pregnant.
I love that.
I'd be like, seriously, I don't think I am. Literally, I was like, there's absolutely no way. It's too early to tell. And he's like, no, I think you are.
Yeah. See, with Valley, I knew I was pregnant before the test knew I was pregnant.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I know I am. Marvin was like, you definitely are. I know you are too. It was really weird. And then it's like I was just... I let's just leave it a minute. So I did a test and it was way too early. I got one of those ones that's supposed to tell you from the moment it happens. Apparently you've done the D's. That's what they advertise
just have
anyway.
Sex. Let's have a look.
Absolutely. So yeah, I tried really soon and then I know I am. And then I tried again a couple of weeks later and it's like,
really?
Yeah. It's mad.
I mean, the amount of sticks I've peed on. I think I just like peeing on sticks.
Yeah. See, mine are very minimal, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I've kept mine as well.
Have you? They don't display it anymore. Oh, no, you got the lines
ones.
Yeah,
lines.
I go digital. I just want to know, pregnant, not pregnant.
Oh,
tell
really?
Me straight.
So yeah. They're always sold out when I'm...
Pay me! Just peeing on them.
Buying them. Yeah, no, I just always got the boring ones.
I can't. The amount of time I think I'd stay there going, is it? Isn't
I know.
It? Is it?
And then, and then it's like, if the other ones are tiny, little bit blurry... But the ones, I kept the winning ones. So the ones that I actually found out I kept. They're in a box, which is actually really gross when you think about it. Yeah. I don't know whose is whose now.
Date them. Tick X on them.
I should have done.
So how was the rest of your pregnancies? Did you know you were having another girl?
No, I didn't find out.
Did
I found
you think
out
you were?
With Elaya. Everyone said I was having a boy.
Really?
Everyone, to the point where I then sort of believed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because literally everyone was, and I know, so it just shows you, it's definitely an old wives' tale, how you carry. And because I did, and the pregnancies were different. I was sick a couple of times, then fine. I had so much energy. And I worked till, well, I did both times anyway, but without a bother, I worked till the end and it was like totally fine. People worried that I were going to pull out on stuff like deals that I'd already had in the pipeline before that I'd already been confirmed on. And they were like, oh, she's probably not going to be here. I'm like, I'm totally fine. And I started showing it later.
Later?
Like, yeah, I didn't actually announce I was pregnant with Valley until I was 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was because I was filming... Well, I was on a live record for Children in Need. So I was like, I'm going to be live on TV for 3 hours. So I should say it before, otherwise that's too, it's too long to, people would have guessed. But yeah, I was able to keep it for quite a while, which
that's
was
amazing.
It was actually quite nice.
Yeah.
Because with Alaya, I unfortunately got papped coming out of my doctors.
Yeah. Can they do that?
Well, I was literally on Harley Street in London, and my doctor is in there.
Oh, can we share a doctor?
Yes, we share.
We share a doctor. We share placenta tablets. We share PT. We are basically the same. Yeah,
just not husbands. No. That's all. Everything else. Yeah. So I was coming out, and I think I don't know if they recognised my car or something, but I think maybe there's just photographers some like around London.
But around that area, I mean, Harley Street is doctors. You know what I mean?
I think they thought I was maybe getting some work done originally, actually, because the newspaper called and I was like, no. So they packed me like on the street. So I thought, oh, they won't. It doesn't mean they know because I'm just walking down the street with Marvin. But then what happened is, so they thought that was maybe, I don't know. I was like, no, I haven't had anything. And thank you very much. And if I did, it would have been a lot better than this. And then they went then to the door. Then they knew I come out of and took a picture. And then that's when they knew, because it was all like fetal.
No.
And that. Yeah. So one of the big newspapers had called and said, we know where she's coming out. We're going to run it tomorrow. And I was literally, that was my 3 month scan. Mm. And I hadn't told, like, literally, like, my mum knew and, like, my best friend. And I was like, can you just let me tell my family? Because they were like, we know it's true. We know what stage it is. We can run it. So I was a bit gutted. I was like, this has all happened very quickly. So I told my family. And then the next day, I quickly tweeted before. Yeah, because I was like, I want it to come from me. So that was all very quick. So it was really nice this time to sort of be like, this is amazing.
Totally in charge of it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, everyone that works for me, we couldn't believe how long we were getting away with it for. So we just didn't bother saying anything because it was quite nice just sort of enjoying it with my friends and family.
And the pictures, because you shared pictures as your announcement for Valentina. And it's you and your butt. It's so nice.
Oh, they were, you know what? It looks like it's an actual proper photo shoot.
It does.
It was my good friend, Caris, who actually is a photographer. She was over and we were having a big girly catch up, and
you're like, I'm just gonna get me undies.
Yeah, she was like, we should do a nice picture of the bump now, because I didn't want to do it. That was it, because I wouldn't let her do it with Alaya. I was like, oh, I just feel really funny. I don't really like it.
Mm.
And she was like, oh no, we should do one. I said, you know what? There's actually one thing I regret that, because I don't really have any pictures to show her or when we're talking about it. So she was like, let's do it. So she had in her car, because she'd been on a shoot, like, you know, the Colorama thing, like the big roll of white sheet, and it was in my lounge and we were just, that was it. So it was actually quite nice. It was really impromptu, but they turned out, we just put them in black and white. Everything's better in black and white.
Everything's better.
Yeah. And it was actually quite nice.
I love it. One thing we both did after we gave birth, second time around, I think both of us, is placenta tablets, which I mentioned just now. How did you find them?
Do you know what? I got so much stick, you wouldn't believe. It was just, I shared it on my Instagram just because I thought,
and we should talk about what they are, actually. So placenta tablets, they basically, a lady comes along after you've given birth.
Very soon after.
Pretty much straight. You're literally texting her while you're in labour.
Yeah.
And they then take away your placenta and they basically freeze dry it.
Like dehydrated.
Yeah, that's right. Some people have some of it raw in smoothies. I don't think either of us did that. But the idea is that the placenta has basically, it's collected so many nutrients and good stuff throughout. It's basically fed your baby and it's full of goodness. And when you give birth, you're losing all that goodness, so that by taking these tablets, you get your goodness back, basically.
So I spoke to our doctor about this, because we share the same doctor, don't we? And he was very sceptical. He was like, some of it definitely works, but part of it, because they say that you don't really feel baby blues afterwards, mm-hmm. which I didn't at all. I don't know if you did.
No.
I felt amazing.
Yep.
But he said the hormone that's in that, I'm going to have to think about this properly.
We're not doctors.
No, I'm not doctors, but apparently the hormone that's in the placenta, they've been trying to give to women that suffered with postnatal depression, that particular hormone, and it didn't work.
Right.
So he was a little bit like, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I text G, didn't I? And I was like, G, what do you think? Because I'd put it out there on Twitter, I'd watched it on the program, and I was like, there was a documentary on it. And it was just about things that you can do to feel amazing, you know, during pregnancy and afterwards. And a lady tested it and, you know, I believed every word she said. It was really sincere. And she was like, it's the best thing I've ever done. And I didn't do it on my first and I feel amazing on my second. So I was sort of game. And then we texted, didn't we? And we're talking about it. And I really, really... I can only speak highly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you
can't say what life would have been like without them.
No, exactly.
But having compared my first and the second, I literally felt amazing.
I felt honestly, and I don't even think yet I've really, maybe it's made me the other way. Maybe it's made me a heart of stone. But I didn't get emotional once. I didn't cry. I didn't, and I really was really teary after Alaya a lot, and especially on that day three, they say, don't they, when the hormones are going.
Yeah.
But I
our first 3 weeks for
me. Yeah. I remember poor Marvin one day after a layout asking me what I want for breakfast. And I literally just went, cereal! And I remember him being like, oh boy, oh no, is she okay?
We're starting
and
the
I
day like
yeah,
this.
And I just didn't know what was wrong with me. I was like, I don't know why I'm crying, but I am just crying. So we're just going to have to roll with this today.
The hormones and it's so overwhelming, I think.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, it's a lot. And I do think the first time it feels... I'm not sure, like you say, I'm not sure it's because it's my second or not, but I felt so amazing having taken these tablets.
Mm.
And the lady that I used was so lovely and she was amazing. She was literally, she was there in a heartbeat and yeah, she was a lovely, lovely woman. So I put up a picture on my Instagram, which ended up, I've never honestly... My press guy was calling me going, look, there's a lot of stuff out there. Take no notice of it. And you know Max. So Max was like, Michelle, don't worry. We're just going to ignore it all. But it was like, it went everywhere and like bizarre. Anyway, so I took a picture on my Instagram saying, thank you so much, because she'd been so nice. And she spoke the whole thing through. And she was like, it's a present, you know, because we'd really bonded over like this, like weeks before me asking her loads of questions. She was so lovely. So I wanted to thank her. And I didn't think enough people knew about it.
Yeah.
Because my friends were like, really? That's strange. What's that? And no one knew. So I was like, if it's going to help someone, maybe they might try it and feel good. So I put it on my Instagram. And what I didn't realise, because I was still in the hospital at this point, because I was basically saying, like, she's amazing. If you need to use anyone, I totally recommend her. She's here and I've got them and the baby's not even a day, you know, not even 2 days old and I've got them back.
Yeah.
So that's what I was basically saying. But she'd sent them in a lovely box and it was all gift wrapped really nicely. And what I didn't know at the time, Jim, was she'd actually used a bit of, I think it was
the umbilical cord,
which I didn't.
Mine put into a heart. Yeah, yours a heart.
Mine spelt love.
Oh my god!
So I literally in this baby bubble sat, and this is the first time I've actually spoke about this. Actually, like sat in the hospital. It was me and my mum because Marvin was doing the days and then leaving at the night with Alaya because that was a whole other thing. We didn't want her to feel like she was then left with my mum and we were being mummy and daddy to a new baby. So he was going back and forth. So it was just me and my mum in this room. So the nurse comes in and checking me all over. So I had a cesarean, so she was helping me and I'd been to the toilet and whatever. And she was like, Michelle, you're on the radio. I said, oh, really? She goes, I said, oh, what, them saying that we've had the baby? She was like, oh, no, that was yesterday. She said, today, they're talking about that you've put your umbilical cord on the internet. I was like, oh, that happened? That's a load of rubbish. I was like, what's that? So I go back to my phone and my phone is like full of messages. But I didn't know that it was that. And do you know what? I don't even really care. It doesn't offend me. But everyone was like, why would you share that? That is disgusting.
Really?
Yeah, like really. I really got like a bizarre backlash.
I would say, so I didn't really, mine came back. I was like, oh, it's a heart. Oh, it's a umbilical cord. To me,
You did the right thing and thought about it.
Yeah.
Because it is a bit gross.
It is a bit gross. It grosses Tom out no end. My family, like if I really want to annoy them, I just get it out and wave it at their faces.
Marvin is like, tell me you're not thinking of putting that up. Because I was like, babe, I actually, I promise you, I didn't even think about it. I was so...
But isn't that amazing? What it actually is. Like, yeah. I think, just thinking about it now, that little tube that spells love, that fed Valentina.
I know.
That was from you
Which
to
is
her.
Amazing, but when I think about it, it does gross me out a little bit too. It is incredible, but there's a lot of grosser things I could do. But yeah, it was a bit strange. And it was in a frame and it was all glittery and pink.
Oh!
I know. So yeah.
I'm going to hunt out this photo.
It's not on my wall at home. I'd be pleased to know. It's in a big box of like Valley's cards and like...
The treasured pieces.
Yeah, so when she's older, I think she'll be like, that is gross, Mum. Why have you got that? Yeah. It's mad.
Michelle, I don't think it was that for me. I love watching on Instagram because when you first... this is what we talk about at Glamour. When you were starting to get back into fitness.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can remember saying to you, well, how good I felt watching you do it, because when you train, you don't, it's not like, oh, I've got a full face of makeup.
Oh, no.
And like, you just show it exactly
it's
how
just
it is.
It, yeah.
And you were, I said to you that then, I was like, I just watch and I just, you know, you're amazing.
And I was like, you have to do it.
Yeah, because well, I had a man to start training for. And so you were like, yep, it's great. My PT's great. I'll give you his number. And the next day, PMAC is here. Here's his number. He's got your number. He's going to text you. And then before I know it, I'm in
she
this
was
PT
like,
session.
Michelle, I'm actually regretting this conversation. I'm like, well, you said you had to train for a mom. I'm bringing someone down with me.
Oh, yeah. So obviously fitness is really important.
Yeah.
To you.
Do you know what? And it wasn't really before. I was sort of like someone that would sign up for the gym after Christmas and go for the first couple of weeks like everyone else.
Right.
And then get emails from them saying, is there anything we can do to convince you to come more? I'll be like, oh no, that's
we're
a sign.
We're missing you.
Yeah, we miss you. We haven't seen you for a very long time. And I just, whilst I was pregnant with Valley, I had a bug for it. And I'd been doing Pilates before. That was sort of all I did. And purely, I'd do it like once a week and not for really for fitness because I really liked it. Like, you should try it if ever you want to feel really like it's so relaxing. I find, and I'm not really one of those people that can like meditate or like switch off really.
Right.
But I really do there. So I started that and really enjoyed it. And then I sort of kept that up throughout my pregnancy until the end because I was just too big to stretch out anyway. And then I sort of got a bug for it and I was like, I just would like to sort of have more stamina. I suffered I was anemic with Valentina and I wasn't with Alea.
Mm.
And I just started to feel really like getting from one side of the kitchen to the other was like, I was so out of breath. It was really, I felt just really exhausted. My iron was always really low. And so I just decided I just want to feel really fit and I don't want to do it in a way of like, oh, a celeb goes back to training straight after giving birth. I don't want it to feel like that. So I want to be very aware.
But
make
what
everyone
I think
aware
about
that
is amazing
be...
about you showing it is the fact that it's not like, oh, just snap your fingers.
No,
and
it's not. And I got so many messages saying, round me, what are you going to do after you have? How are you going to handle this? And is it easy for you to snap back? And I was like, do you know what? No, it's not. So I think it's important for people to talk about that. Because, and it's not just celebrities. Like my best friend, Regina, my best friend, she is a superwoman. Mm. She can have a baby and put size 8 jeans on and leave the hospital. I don't know how she does it, but that's just her.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's just a lucky, lucky beep, beep, beep. she is very lucky. So people are just different and that's the way it is. And I think some celebs maybe do get a bad name because if she was a celeb, she'd be seen as someone that's snapped back and is in skinny jeans. But that's just because that's her body and that's the way she was made. Unfortunately, I wasn't made like that. So I think it's important to show that I think after you've had a baby, fitness is something to stick to. If you want to feel fit and you want to be fit, and then obviously a benefit on the way is that then you do feel better about yourself, I guess. So yeah, it's a nice thing, and I think it sort of put my head in a good place, which is good.
It's funny, isn't it, just taking that like hour 3 times a week or whatever just to focus on that.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. I did a cover for Fit and Well magazine, and I was saying when I did an interview, it was all about PMAC actually coming to the shoot. It was so funny. He was actually making me do exercises on the shoot to like demonstrate what we do. He was saying, you can do it from home, as we both do.
Yeah.
So we were sort of demonstrating that. But I was saying, there's actually nothing wrong with being a mum and thinking, do you know what? I just want this hour for myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to concentrate on me in that hour. I think it's actually very healthy. Whether you put them to bed and you have a nice bath and you put a face mask on or, you know, and you're not doing anything and not catching up on stuff and trying to get ahead of the game and thinking about what you need in the baby bag for tomorrow. Like, just concentrate on you.
Yeah.
And you can do it when they're asleep. If you haven't got time, you haven't got an extra pair of hands to help. Like my new thing now is if I'm busy in the day and the kids are around, I won't train and PMAC will come to me at like 7:30.
Yeah.
Because I put them to bed at 7 and then I'll train it for 8, you know? So I think there's ways around it. It's not just like, oh, well, it's, you know, people with the negative approach where it's okay for you because I'm sure you've got 4 nannies and a chef and if only, guys, if only. It's doable, right?
Yeah, it is. Because I think I spent a long time going, I've not got time.
Me too.
And then I have been the busiest I've ever been over the last sort of 6 time. Months and I found time. Yeah,
exactly that. And
I think a part of it is sort of feeling a pressure from seeing photos on Instagram of people looking amazing and
totally.
Me just being instantly like, oh, that's not me and that will never be me. And so I already feel like a failure.
It's unattainable already.
Yes, let's just sit down. I might have a peppermint tea, but I'll have a biscuit with it.
Yeah.
And it just brings me down. Whereas seeing someone like you showing not even the journey, but showing you actually doing it, it feels very different.
It's work. And I someone asked me something the other day and they were like, so what's your secret? I'm like, dude, there is no secret. If you want to feel good, the truth is you just got to put the work in, I guess. And I'm very much, I'm not a dieter. That's not me. Like, I love my food. And I think you can do all that if you're working out. I think, you know, because then you're happy because you're not going without and you're healthy.
Have you always been body confident? Body confident? Is that really weird?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm more body confident after having kids, which is a funny thing.
I don't think so, because your body's done an absolutely amazing thing. So maybe that's why.
Maybe.
And you've got more respect for it now.
Yeah. And I think, like, if I could, like, say to myself before, you know, I was in a girl band, so I think I was always going to be...
The pressure was on. You've got 4 other girls to compare yourself
teeny,
to.
Teeny, tiny people. Mm. And I was already taller than them. So then if I was, you know, you always feel bigger, don't you? So I think, but now I look back and I'm like, oh, my goodness, if I could have shook you, younger self, you know, you were great and what I would do to look like that now, you know? So I think... It's mad that sometimes you can worry a lot when you're younger or in a place in your life where you think maybe it's about that.
Did you feel a pressure to be a certain way?
I think so. When I'm thinking about it now, maybe in the time I was a bit unaware of the fact that I did feel it, but looking back, maybe, yeah.
Well, it would have just been your way of life then, though. You wouldn't have even gone, oh, this is a pressure.
If you're in that world where that's what matters, then I guess it's hard not to. I remember actually an old manager... telling me when I met Marvin that I'd put weight on and telling me that I need to go on a diet. Yeah, and I remember thinking, oh, well, I think you need to start, you know, obviously you're happy, but you need to be very careful. That's all I'm saying. And
oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
What? You can't be overweight and in this game type of approach. And it just made me feel really, ooh.
I've heard of little digs about stuff like that as well, like cream being put on and rubbed and gone,
bit
wobbly here.
Yeah, really. And it's funny because it was a woman and I remember thinking like, oh my goodness, and now I can't imagine ever, you know.
And because you have girls as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine then in like 15 years time someone saying that to Alea, that would, you know.
Wow.
You'd be straight,
I'd be straight in the car, mate. Straight in the car.
You
with
are
a few
coming
things to
home.
Say. Absolutely. I think, it's really funny. It's a funny thing, weight. And I'm really, having 2 girls, I'm so paranoid about it. Like my cousin was over the other day and she said, someone come on telly. And I think she'd said something, oh, he's put on a bit of weight, isn't he? And I went to her. And I'm so funny about anyone saying anything about
not the F word.
Her.
I hate the F
don't
word.
Don't say fat. Yeah. Don't talk about putting. And there's nothing wrong with what she said because he had. But I don't know. I'm really, I feel like I've got a real job to do there. And I know that she's only 4, but she hears everything and picks up on everything. So I just think it's a good,
It's the words that, because I can remember my mum was always on a diet. She always had Mr. Motivator.
My mum was the same.
You know, and I think my friend hit the nail on the head for me is that I don't, she's got a daughter. She doesn't want her daughter to think that mum's got something wrong with her, that she always is trying to fix it. Because then when you, it makes you look into yourself and kind of go,
what do I need to fix?
Yeah, like I can remember seeing like stretch marks on my legs when I was 9 and being like, you know, something's wrong with me. I'm not like everyone else is perfect and it's not me.
Yeah.
But you kind of want to take away those insecurities that can start so young.
I just want her to be a kid forever, for as long as humanly possible. And that's why social media panics me, frightens the hell out of me. And it's really funny with girls. And I'm like, a teenager's not going to go through that awkward phase anymore. Mm. Like, are we not going to look back at pictures with our frizzy hair and all our friends wearing braces and us all, you know, because everyone's filter in them?
Oh, it's breaks
really,
my heart.
It's a really hard thing, because then I'm guilty of putting a little filter on a picture. So then am I the problem, you know?
No, I don't think so, because like I said, I think your Instagram is very balanced.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're very happy to show a picture of you or a video with you with no makeup on.
Yeah.
So I think it's about having that balance and letting people know they don't need to have that filtered life.
And not everything is great. It's not.
Exactly.
And it, like you say, it's trying to find the balance, but that does worry me. And my friend's actually got an older daughter who's like 10 or 11, and she's asked to have an Instagram. She's like, categorically no. No way.
Do you know what I find difficult? I find it difficult when I see people who are, like I saw the other day, a couple having an argument, and then I sat down to have I was doing some work, and then I turned around literally 30 seconds later, and this lady was putting her phone in the air to take a photo and just turning on this happiness. And then she'd look down at her phone and be really grumpy. Retake the photo. Happiness. Look, and just maybe go, that's, how have we got to that point where...
Yeah. You're just trying to be like, oh, I'm at a nice restaurant and I'm here and I should let everyone know that I'm here because it's nice, but I'm not having a good time there.
Exactly.
I've got a no phone rule for when we go out for dinner. Oh. Always a no phone rule. Even with all of our friends, we put them in the middle of the table.
Sounds a bit like a swingers party.
Yeah, no, it does. There's no keys, no keys.
No keys nowadays, just phones.
Yeah. See, the technology. But I'm like, no, let's get off our phones. And then like, slowly someone will take those back. But we'll do like the majority of the meal, which is a good thing nowadays with us just, you know, like
it's important.
Having a
I think it's important for our kids to see us without our phones always. You know, because I know that for us when we were growing up, we'd always play with phones and be like, hello.
Yeah.
But, you know, now it's everything's on
now
there.
Now they know straight away that this index finger knows to swipe.
Yeah, it's like they've grown like that. They've come out with that swiping ability.
I know, but there's nothing we can do to stop it. That's the thing. It's like moving forward with it in the most proactive way.
It's hard, isn't it? Because you kind of want them to be able to, you have to embrace it because technology is moving on and life is moving on.
There's iPads in school, you know.
Yeah. But at the same time, you want to have that balance that they're outdoors and playing and letting their imagination, especially being creative like we are. It's so important their imagination is alive.
Absolutely. And that's what's wonderful about children, because until it's taken from them, they have the best imagination in the world. And even Alaya knows that, like, the other day I was at my phone and I was just about to finish. She went, Mummy, no tables at the phone.
Oh. I was like, tables at the phone, phone.
Yeah, phone at the table. There you go. Oh, that sums up my brain, G.
So sweet that she was saying
that. Yeah, so she knows. Yeah. And she'll say it to my mum as she comes over. Nanny, you can't have your phone.
That's good though, that she knows that there has to be a balance.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that will work now, and then she'll become a teenager. Like,
not talking to you, just on her phone.
Yeah, just Snapchatting the whole meal.
Good.
I know.
Rochelle, we finish each podcast with you completing 3 sentences. No, I put you on the spot.
Complete a sentence.
But complete, it's all right.
It's not a strong point for me right now.
It's all right. It's going to be really easy.
Okay, fine.
Okay?
I'll try.
Being a mum means?
Everything to me. And more, I guess.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sometimes it's very difficult, but it means everything to me.
Since having children,
I've learned a hell of a lot about myself and my patience.
It just grows, doesn't it?
Yeah. I have patience now. I didn't have any before. Now I do. It's a miracle.
I'm happy when?
I have my whole family together. Oh. And we're off. And normally a holiday, you know, when you've got everyone together, that's when I'm definitely my happiest.
You strike me as someone who has like Sundays, open days, everyone's around.
Yeah, everyone's just always at my house on a Sunday. It's just And I feel bad for Marvin, actually, because he works on Sunday. So he comes back and everyone's still there, but he misses the majority of the day because he works. But it's just the best. And yeah. I'm such a roast dinner girl and everyone's in and out. And there's a lot of washing up, though, at the end. There's a lot of washing up.
It's the worst, isn't it?
Yeah,
even if it's a load in the dishwasher thing.
I know.
There's just so much.
And I wash up versus using a dishwasher. I don't know why.
Oh, pots and pans and stuff. You've
yeah.
got to.
Yeah, but I'm not very good at loading, Marvin says. Like, what? Did you do this dishwasher? I'm like, my plate, it's just all, yeah, it doesn't work.
Nothing
do.
Fits.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm definitely, my house is just, as it seems, just constantly full of people and chaotic. And then new people that come in my life along the way, sort of, I don't know what happens, but then they sort of, so the house is just, I'm just going to have to keep putting extensions on little bits of the house, I think, because we're just catering to more on a Sunday. PMAC's part of the Sunday
crew
now.
I know, I'm seeing.
You're more than welcome.
Thanks.
It's an open house, Jane.
Well, I'll see you on Sunday for a race
yeah,
then. Michelle, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
It's been so nice
to
catch
up. Lovely.
Yeah, really nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I hope
very
it wasn't
much.
Too scary.
No, I can finish a sentence. I'm just happy about that.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.